Oh, we thank you, our Father, for a God who gives his word and keeps his word, fulfills his word, prepares his plan and follows his plan. We're so grateful. Thank you for the Lamb who came, slain for the sins of the world. Thank you for the high priest sitting on the throne to your right, forever interceding. Thank you for the mediator who represents us as our attorney when we're in need. We're so grateful. Thank you. We can never be thankful enough. But today our heart reaches out in a special gratitude because you brought us to the end of this year. And we're so grateful for all that will yet be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to talk today about worry. You know the old song, you don't know the old song. Why worry when you could pray?
Yes, trust Jesus.
Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest upon his promise. Why worry, 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 worry? When you could pray. That song could have been written about Philippians chapter 4 that we're going to read, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, when we use the word careful, we mean be cautious, watch your step. The word careful here is actually, we would say, be full of care. In other words, no worrying. And the translators will do that. They'll say, don't worry about anything. And the key word in that phrase is that first one, don't. Don't do it. Don't worry about anything. This is about nothing. Don't worry about nothing. Paul must have been a Southerner. Don't. You know, if you tell a child, don't touch that, you don't mean touch it time or two or three or four, and then you touch it today, but don't touch it tomorrow. You mean stop that right this minute. We were in a home where a girl, she was 10, 11, 12, with the mind of less than a two-year-old, and she touched everything. We were invited because we were guests in town, and every few minutes she'd touch something and they'd say, don't. They never even looked at her, you know, and she'd stop and look up. And then she'd just touch something different. She moved all the way around the room. But when they said don't, she had learned to respect don't. And she interpreted don't as move on to the next thing. When God says don't go from worry to worry. Anxiety, care, frustration. Don't do that. Don't. You have to talk to myself. I don't know about you, but every now and then I worry about something. Do you do that? And God here says, don't do that, Becky. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. A lady called me. She's making this frosting. She said, have you ever made this frosting? I said, 100 years ago. She said, is this granulated sugar, confection, or sugar? Well, I couldn't remember. It's been too long. My mother made that was her favorite frosting, and I just couldn't remember what she put in it. And so she called back later. She said, well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not confectioner's sugar. So now she has don't. Don't put confectioner's sugar in that frosting. She has don't. That won't work. And worry doesn't work. It just frustrates you. Don't worry. And here's this other key word. But in everything. But always changes courses. If you're at my house for dessert and somebody rings the doorbell, but we don't actually have a doorbell because we live in the woods. We don't need a doorbell. We can see you coming. But I go to the door and I say, eat all the cookies while I'm gone, but don't touch the cake. But always changes the direction of everything. When you say but, you mean turn around. You're going the wrong way. And I said, if you're worried, you're going the wrong way. You need to turn around. In everything. Now, how many things does that include? Everything you would worry about. Everything you'd be concerned about. Now, I looked up to see what people worry about at Christmas time. There are several lists by the experts, and there's nothing on them that would surprise you. People worry about family get-together and family relationships. Well, I know that's true because I've prayed with some people who said, our family is all getting together. So I know there's some family relationship problems. They worry about shopping. They worry about spending all their money and have enough money to the end of December. Now, Wayne was a City of Lakeland employee, and they usually pay their, before Christmas, where you would get paid the 30th, 31st of December, and often they pay before. So I'm not worried about making it to the end of December. If I was going to worry about making it to the end of January, because they've given me an extra week, you see, to stretch my finances. But it doesn't matter if it's a relationship, if it's the cooking, if it's the shopping. And that's what the scripture says, my God will supply all your need. Now, if I believe that, I'm not worried about my need being supplied because God said he would supply it. Don't worry about anything, frustrated, anxiety, not about your health, your doctor appointment, your lab test. I've prayed with people. Hysterical. I've never seen anybody as hysterical as this lady was. And somebody came with her, and I said, I hope you drove her. She said, I did. Well, she was to have surgery, and she was scared out of her mind. And we prayed, and I instructed the driver, who I think must have been her daughter, about what we were and we were not going to do. And then I find out it's surgery in the doctor's office. It's very minor. It wasn't any big deal. It was just a little bitty deal. And she had worried herself into hysteria. And what does the Bible say? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, I have to work on that. Do you have to work on it? If I have something on my mind is somewhat grasp hold and hangs in there. Does your mind do that? Wayne's mind doesn't do that, and it's very frustrating when you're frustrated and he won't be frustrated with you. You can give the whole deal. He'll say, and? Everything, we're going to pray. Prayer's your answer. Prayer's your key. Why? Because asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find. Doesn't asking you might receive, you could receive. I hope you receive. Give it a shot. It might work out for you. Asking you shall receive. This is the confidence we have in him. 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence we have in him. The word confidence is a word plain, blunt speech. It means I'm so confident it's reflected in the words. I'm not trying not to say something. I'm saying something bold according to the word. Confident. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We know he hears us. We know we have, doesn't it? So we think we have. We could have. I got my fingers crossed. We know we have. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, if God didn't answer prayer, there wouldn't be any purpose in thanksgiving. I'd be shouting with my fingers crossed, hoping that he was going to answer, that he was going to help me. But he said he would. He said, ask, Becca, you'll receive. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, John 14, 16 maybe it is, he'll give it to you. Whatever. That means you have to eliminate the illegal, immoral, and really dumb. That's our three criteria for asking. Not illegal, not immoral, not really dumb. So we've had a couple instances where we had to go through that list to say, is this illegal? No. Is it immoral? No. Is it really dumb? Really dumb. Yes. Yes. It's really dumb. My sister-in-law had antique dining room chairs, and they were falling apart. Few years ago, she asked Wayne if he would instruct her. They don't live in town. They live in outside of Savannah, Georgia. If he would instruct her how to fix them herself. Well, Wayne having fixed chairs that need more recovering, it's not really a good idea. So in time, we went up to fix the chairs. And she's going to take off work to help Wayne. So you have to know yourself and where you fall in a hole. You see that hole coming, this is the thing you usually do, then get over it. Say, I'm not doing that again. I did that. So she's going to help Wayne. She took the day off. I said, you know what? You need to go to work. See, I know him. We've been married 57 years. Wayne is not a team player. He's a bicyclist. He's a weightlifter. He can do anything. He always works alone. So you have to know you. And sometimes people around you know you better than you do. They want to say, are you sure? Do you really want to do this? So she went to work, and that was good. And Wayne fixed all the chairs, and they're still in good shape, we found out. So do you know yourself? Do you tend to worry? And what do you worry about? He is worthy of it all. The God who's worthy said, ask me, Becky, you'll receive whatever you ask. In prayer, it says, don't worry, pray. Two words are used here. One is a general word for prayer, means just talking to God. And the word supplication means make a specific request. So talk to God about your worry and make your specific request. And then, with thanksgiving. Well, it's no use being thankful if God's not going to answer. The fact that I'm making this request with thanksgiving means I know Him. See, like I know Wayne, I know God. He said He'd answer. And I begin to say, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And then it says, the peace of God which passes all understanding. There's degrees of peace, and there's a peace that just blows your mind. You just can't know how you got there. It says it will mount guard, or it will, what does the King James say? Shall keep, which is the word mount guard or garrison. One day, stand at the kitchen sink, worried sick about something. I don't do that too much, but it's a good thing I don't because I'm very good at it. And something came around my brain. It was like a, I don't know. And I couldn't remember. I'd worried about that for days and nights. I said, what did we do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, my goodness, Wayne, what are we going to do? And He does not come alongside you to worry with you. That is very frustrating. But something beyond my understanding came around my mind. I couldn't even remember. Suddenly it so faded me, I couldn't remember what I was frustrated or worried about. I mean, I literally couldn't remember. And I tried. I said, now, I know you were worried about something. I know you've been pacing. I pace. I start in the kitchen, pace around the island at 6 foot, down through the dining room, living room, all the way down the hall, back up the hall, past the dining room, living room, around the island. I just do that. I do that until I'm satisfied that that I'm in good shape with God and I'm in good shape with prayer and I've done what I should do in prayer. And if you come to my house frustrated, guess what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to start you in the kitchen around the island and march you all the way through the living room, down the hall until you get over it. That's the truth. That's just the truth. You need to know what works. That always works for me. You need to know what works for you. You need to deal with yourself. And you need to pray. You'll never conquer this. Say, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to think about this. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not thinking about it. I wonder why she said that. You go right back to it. Your mind's like a rubber band. It snaps right back at you. But when you pray and you cast that care upon the Lord and you pray with thanksgiving, why, He's going to answer. He's going to help you. He's going to give you a peace that's unfathomable. Now, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect. Perfect peace. Now, what Wayne and I did, we did something unusual for Christmas this year. We took one another shopping and we bought new clothes. You won't see them till after Christmas. That's the rule. And so we brought them home. We hung them all in the closet. And one of the pants had a stain on it. That's really aggravating. So, it's the only pair they had like that. I'm thinking, what to do, what to do. I'm beginning to be frustrated. I mean, it doesn't take much to frustrate me. It doesn't take much to frustrate you, I think. I wonder if I wash these, if this will come out. I wonder, should I send them to the cleaners? I wonder if we should just forget this kind, this style, take them some. And I just circled the block until I said, Becky Cumby, what are you doing? Don't do that. Stop it this minute. Stop it. You go to your mirror. You know, I've told you this. And you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, quit that this minute. You're worrying. It's usually your nagging. has come to an end. If you look at yourself in the mirror, I guarantee you, it'll change you. I do. It's very, you think, it's really ugly when you're looking at yourself. Well, we washed it. They washed out fine. So that's good. So we still, you will see eventually. I have to have everything hemmed because I'm a short person. And I have short arms. Everything has to hem. The seamstress loves to see me coming. And when we go months and months without buying anything. See, how would you like to go months and months without worrying about anything? Months and months and months. It's not that you don't have some problems. It's just they're not bothering you. They're not frustrating you. You're not uptight. Strung out. Thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Not on the worry, not on the frustration, not on the dilemma, not on the difficulty. Mind is stayed on God. You prayed and you keep your mind on God. You say, thank you that you answer. You said, ask and I would receive. Thank you that you answer. Now, if anything about Christmas frustrates you, today's the day to start to solve that. Now, a lady called me and she had, their family was us and them. Do you have a family like that? Don't even admit it. And she was going to have a big shindig and invite us and them. And she'd been discouraged. Other members of the family said, oh, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work. You know we don't get along, blah, blah, blah. She said, but I really have it in my heart. I said, then I'm going to agree with you, and I want you to do it. If it's in your heart, it's the thing to do. So us came and them came, and they had a wonderful time. And in the end, she got a substantial, very nice present from one of the people who knew that her boldness in God had brought the family together. So you can follow your heart, your spirit, your inward man. And when God said, don't, I'm turning from my mind to the inward man, and I'm filling my mind with what God has to say to my spirit. I'm letting the Spirit and the Holy Ghost speak to me, and I'm filling my mind. Thou keep perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's not that it's my mind of understanding. That's why Scripture says we pray in the Spirit, we pray with our understanding. The reason we have to pray in the Spirit is because we don't have enough understanding. We covered that a couple of weeks ago. I mean, if you knew better, you'd pray better. One gentleman, he's going to pray for the government. He told this. And he prayed best he could in English, and he didn't know much about other tongues. And he prayed, and he said it was just frustrating. I know that's not what I need to say, and I don't know what I need to say. And I got more and more frustrated. So he went to his Bible, and he did some research, and that was a good thing. And then he's going to pray. Second try. He's going to do better this time. He said, only he didn't do any better. He said, that was as bad as the first time. He said, I just flat don't know how to pray for government. Well, I understand that. Past help, oh Lord. So there's some situations I said, Lord, we just need help here. That's my whole prayer. That's the whole thing. And he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, why don't you let me say it? In other words, say it in other tongues. Let me say it. And as he began to speak in other tongues, many times as you speak in other tongues, then you hit a realm of English that's not from your mind, but from the Spirit who fills your mind. Amen. You step into a place where you know things you didn't know if you just prayed with your mind only. Amen. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm just going to give you a hint. Your mind leaks. Someone asked me if I thought the mind leaked, and I said, I'm absolutely sure of it, because I have stood in front of the refrigerator with the door open. I can't remember why I'm there. I think, going down the hall, and I think, okay, I don't need my glasses. I have on my earrings. I don't know exactly why I'm there. Your mind can memorize Scripture, and you can pray Scripture, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're not disking the mind, but we're saying it's inadequate. It just is inadequate. And if worry, it's just basically your mind circling the field. Just circling and circling and circling. Now, one lady came to our door. We don't have any neighbors. She came to our door, and she lived on the street way over there, and she's hunting her dog. Because we have no trespassing signs. We have no trespassing signs because people think if you want to dump your garbage, dump them at Cumbie's place. So we have no legal recourse unless we have a sign. That's what the sign is for. It's not to discourage you from coming up the driveway. is to discourage the people who were dumping tires on my property. Mm-hmm. And then the county won't pick up the tires because we didn't have a no trespassing sign. So she wants permission to look for her dog on our property. And I said, certainly you can. Well, there's this bird circling round and round and round. And you begin to wonder, you begin to worry. Wonder if that dog's in trouble or if he's died and that bird is circling. What is that bird circling? So you begin to worry. You begin to ad lib. You begin to make up things. You begin to decide you know when you know what? You don't know. You got that? I'm just painting a picture so when you get your bill, your credit card bill where you charged everything, did you do that? I hope not. You won't be frustrated. Just go to God and say, look what I did. And he'll help you. Pray with thanksgiving. The peace of God which passes all understanding. So keep your minds. Garrison your minds. Mount guard over your mind. Will be a military force around your mind, preventing demonic spirits and wandering thoughts. Sometimes it's not a spirit, it's just you wandering around. Have you ever done that? Finally, you see that finally? Amen. Whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what my mind's supposed to be thinking on. That's what I'm thinking on. I'm not thinking about, I wonder how that happened. I wonder what I'm ever going to do. I wonder who's going to help me. I wonder if I have enough money. I wonder if everybody's going to get along. I wonder if I'm ever going to complete my shopping. I wonder if I go to get that, they already sold out of them. Have you ever wondered any of those things? And it says true, and sometimes things are true, but they're not lovely. You see the criteria there? It is the truth. We turned off a TV program because what they were telling was true, but it was ugly. It was sin that did not need to go coast to coast. It was just ugly. And I told Wayne, I don't even have to say, he knows me. I went, He went, click. I cannot do that to my mind. It's got to be true, honest, just, pure. It was impure what they were doing. Lovely. It's got to be the good report. What's the good report? My God will supply all my need. That's the good report. My God is going to supply all my need. That's the good report. Now look at 1 Peter. Cast every care upon you. I've cast every care when I don't know what to do. 1 Peter 5. Verse 7 says, casting all. You see that A-L-L, all? So here's your vocabulary, your spelling list. Word number 1, don't. Word number 2, but. Word number 3, all. You getting that? Casting all your care. That's what you worry. That's what you fret over. Because he cares for you. Now, don't be trite here. When you hire a yard man, you don't hire him to give you a written report. You don't hire him to be concerned. A lot of the translations say because he's concerned. Well, that's true. He is concerned. But he's already committed to solve it. So it's a lot more than concern. And you don't want the yard man to say your azaleas are too tall and you've got several dead spots of grass and you're back acreage needs mowing. Every now and then it has to be mowed. You don't want a report. You didn't hire him to give you a report. You don't want somebody to come along and say, oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. See, what I have to do when I'm worried, I have to find a scripture. And I have to go over it and over it and over it. And when I wake in the night, I have to repeat that scripture. One gentleman was very, very ill. He had his stomach was actually devoured with ulcers. It's very painful. And he went for help from a pastor who gave him very sound advice. He said, you put this verse of scripture by your bed, and every time at night you wake up, and he woke up a lot because he's in such pain. You see, that's agonizing ulcers. If you haven't done that, we're not doing that. Say, I'm not doing that. We're not doing that. He said, get out of bed, get down on your knees and read that scripture 2 or 3 times and get back in bed. He said, well, the first night he's on his knees more than he was in bed. He'd get to bed and he'd just get to sleep and he'd have a little pain or he'd wake up and say, The doctor said. Well, doctors are human. I don't know if you know that or not, but when you go to a doctor, you take God with you because he's supernatural. Your doctor's only natural. Doing what he can do. We believe in doctors. We have a doctor. Well, he said the second night he was out of bed a lot, but not quite as much. And it was several nights, every night, when he'd wake up thinking, and he said, you know what they do at the old timers, because Wayne's dad has some problems along this line. They feed you raw eggs. That's the solution for ulcers. Guess who doesn't like cooked eggs? And I certainly wouldn't like them. Eggs belong in cake. You understand what eggs are for? They're for cake. an egg custard, if you like egg custard. But he said it wasn't too many nights before he slept all night one night. Because when he rolled over, his heart informed his mind. Your mind gets information not from the world, but from the Spirit. And his mind, hearing from the Spirit, quoted that verse of Scripture. I've been there where I had to go over it and over it. Not quite that much, but over it and over it. So one day, I put out threats. You function like you function. You're not me, and that's probably a good thing. But I was worried sick about something, went over and over and over, and I couldn't turn loose of it. My mind kept going back and said, clutched like a rubber band. So I said to myself and to whoever was listening, I'm going to go down to the church and get help, and I'm telling them every single detail of what you've done to me, every detail. And he said, I heard in the Spirit, they're not there today. Everybody's busy doing something. There's nobody up there. I said, the custodian's always there, and I'm going to bend his ear, and I'm telling everything. And I don't care if he's confidential or he's not confidential. I'm spreading this worry all over the church. That's the last I heard from my mind. It went. And bulldog tenacity. You know what bulldog tenacity is? Do you know about bulldogs? One lady had a bulldog, and when they mowed their yard, the bulldog would grab a hold of the muffler, which is hot, by the way, and doesn't turn loose. So he would mow, the man would mow walking on the left of the lawnmower because the dog would come running from the right, and he could put the mower between him and the dog. But the dog wouldn't turn loose. His mouth is burning, and he won't turn loose. See, the things that come against you want to drive you crazy. They don't ever want you to forget that. She said, and I said, and that wasn't fair. And they don't ever want you to forget. He says, you're supposed to cast that on the Lord. For he's the one that's going to take care of it. Now, you have a caretaker at cemetery. And they're there to do some work, to take care of it. We went, my grandmother's buried in Winter Haven, and I hadn't been there. We hadn't been there in, 20 years or so. She's been gone a long, long time, my little bitty grandmother. And suddenly it came to me. I said, you know, I got to go stand at Granny's grave. I'm not a grave. You can be a grave person if you want to. I'm not a grave person. That's just a matter of personal choice, and I'm just not. And I thought, we got to go. So Wayne called them, and they were very, very nice. They put up a flag, a tall flag, so we could find it, because I didn't know if I could find it or not. And I was looking, standing there, and I don't know why I'm standing there. The flowers were adequate. Everything's in good shape. And you can't talk to Granny. She's not there. Don't go to the cemetery and talk to them. That's dumb. They're not there. And then I looked down. There's a grave that's all toppled over. And I said, oh, wonder what happened there. And I walked down there, and I said, Wayne, this is Aunt Ethel. This is Aunt Ethel. Aunt Ethel's grave is caved in. Is that why the Lord sent me? I don't know. But that's what we did. I reported it, and I called in Ethel's nephew, who called the daughter because I didn't know how to reach her, who said they would take care of it. Well, there's no use fretting over that. No use worrying about it. No use repeating it over and over again to yourself. What's our key word? Don't do that. Well, I caught myself doing that more than once. Now, verse 5, I want to show you what humble. It says, humble yourself, verse 6. Humble yourself. What a strange word. Nobody really knows what that is. But it's very easily defined in verse 5. You younger, submit yourself to the elder. All of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. Humility is when you're in full submission to someone else. You're in full submission. That means Jesus is Lord, God is Father, and I'm totally submitted to Him. And He said don't, and I'm not going to. Amen. You see that. Now look at Psalms. Are y'all getting this? I'm not straining my voice for nothing, Emma. Psalms, it's 37. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. If you trust in the Lord, He can fulfill His promise to you. And worry, frustration, carrying a care, a burden, is a roadblock. It just gets in your way. Now, they've been repairing Lake Parker Drive on our side, and one lane, all roadblocked, nice person there with the yellow flag, you know. It's just really irritating when you are used to being car number 3 and now you're car number 23. Mm-hmm. Have you been in that? Have you been there?
Yeah.
And that's what worry does. That's when you're not trusting God. Say, I trust you, God. You said you'd meet my need. You said by Jesus' stripes I was healed.
Amen.
Thank you for my healing. Thank you. It says pray with thanksgiving. Why? Because He's going to answer.
Amen.
He is healing you. He has healed you through the blood of the Lamb, so your bill is paid, and because your bill is paid and you've requested the goods that came from your paid bill, He can send it to you. Now, if I went down and bought something and I said, I'm buying this for Miss Melinda, and I gave him the phone number and I said, you call her and she'll come get it. Tell her it's paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus did. Your healing's paid for.
Amen. Amen.
He said, come get it. How do you get it? With the words of your mouth, with your faith. And what prevents it from working? Worry, frustration. Trust in the Lord and do good. Well, the first good thing you're going to do is pray. It's real good to pray. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Have you tried that when you're worried, when you're up to your eyeballs in worry? Delight. See, this is, we're trusting God. We're not going to be frustrated. We're going to be delighted. In other words, we're going to be satisfied. We're going to know God's working. I said, I don't see that He's working. So? He said He was working. He's working. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Therewith to be content. There, content means, have you ever sat down a meal that was really contenting? Me too. You know, if I was orchestrating a meal today, first of all, you have to have Wayne's mother's okra. She cooked it like nobody I've ever seen in my entire life. She steamed it forever. It was delicious. And then we'd have to have mother's coconut cake. What's the thing we miss about mother, Suzanne?
Coconut cake.
Coconut cake. Coconut cake. I'm not a steak person. It's okay. I can eat steak, and I'm glad to eat it. You understand? I'm not refusing steak, but I'd have pork covered in mushroom gravy, baked for over an hour with potatoes. Y'all aren't hungry, are you? He said, delight yourself. What is it about God that you're so delighted with? That's what He's saying. Delight yourself in what God is, who He is, what He does, how He functions, that He's on your side, that He's not against you, that He's going to solve this for you, that if you walk with Him, and I don't want to frighten you any, but sometimes when you walk with God, it's a long walk. See, what we wanted was the answer today. And you have the answer today in the realm of the Spirit, but sometimes it doesn't show up till tomorrow or next week. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Did he say he would or did he lie? That word desire is a word request. See, he's going to give it to you. That word give means two things. First, it means he's going to cause some desires in your heart. You're going to have some desires that come to your mind from your spirit that were planted by God. He's going to give you some desires that are his desires for where you are and what you need. It also means he's going to materialize. It means to deliver. He's going to give you some desires. He's also going to deliver the desires that you have that are not illegal, immoral, or really dumb. It's twofold. He plants some things, and some things he does because you want him to. Because he's a good, good father. Commit your way into the Lord. Now that word commit is the word to roll. R-O-L-L. Roll over on the Lord. Now that means if we have a, and we do when we come, we have two pouches today because our cell is still on. And we have all the audio equipment and the speakers. And I have my Bible in my purse. I always bring water. Thank God for the Holy Ghost to help you. I always bring water. Everywhere I go, I have water. So I buy short water and I put them in my purse. And then I forget they're in there, and so I put another one in my purse. And then I forget, and my purse was getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And the other day I cleaned it out, and you know what made it so heavy? All the water. Bottles of water. Still in my purse. And you know what worry does? It's real heavy. It weighs down your mind. So he said, roll that over on the Lord. Well, when I roll my purse over on Wayne, sometimes, you know, he's got more hands than I do. I only have two, he has three. And so I give it to him and he'll carry the purse. He's not ashamed to carry the purse. You know, some men won't do that, but Wayne would do anything that I needed him to do. And we just roll it over on him and then I'm free because he's carrying it. It's not weighing me down, he's got it. See, and once you roll it over on the Lord, it's not your problem. He said, I'm going to solve this for you. I'm going to do this for you. You don't have anything to worry about. You pray. Don't worry. Ask, and I'll give you all. That's according to my word. You see that? There's a lot to worry about when you have medical problems. There's your insurance. There's the right doctor. There's advanced treatment. Do we or don't we? There's prescriptions that work well but are expensive. There's prescriptions that aren't working well. See, it's not beyond what they're doing sometimes to write you a prescription that will cost you $600 a month. I can tell you that. And so now we're worried. Do you bite your nails when you're worried? I don't. He said, roll that on me. Once you roll it on him, you cast it on him, you roll it on him. That's the same thing we read in the old in 1 Peter. You cast it on him, you roll it on him. It's not your problem. So somebody's going to ask you, this is very important. This is my important part. How are you doing? Or how'd your insurance thing work out? Or how's your car working? And my first inclination is to explain it all. Well, that may not be your inclination. That's just me. My first inclination is to tell you, you know, I feel terrible. And my prescription was $2,000 a month. And if you think I lied about that, I didn't. $2,000 a month. And I wasn't expecting a prescription. And I didn't know what it was for. And they called me from the pharmacy and said, do you really want this? I said, want what? I was totally in the dark. This was a long time ago. And he said, well, it is $2,000, so we thought we'd check you. That's a month. I said, well, I don't guess it matters what it's for, does it? Because I'm not paying for it. So I just cast that over on the Lord. Said, did you worry about that? Why, no, I'm not worried about it. That was a long time ago. I'm not worried about it. Because I went. I said, God, we're not doing this. You're my physician. It's health you bring to me. You bless my bread and water. You take sickness and disease away from me in the number of my days. You will fulfill. You sent your word and heal me. No weapon formed against me prospers. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. Surely you lifted up, carried away, removed to a distance as my substitute the entire weight of my grief, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. I got all covered. You see? So I'm not worried. See, weren't you curious? Not really. Now what do you need to roll over on him? Your children and your grandchildren? I asked Suzanne constantly. Ashley has a new job. That's our granddaughter. And I said, is Ashley at work today? I have a tendency to be concerned. We call it concern because we don't want to say the word worry. But there isn't 50 cents worth of difference between concern and worry. Worry is simply concern on hormones. It's all the same thing. And I said, well, she's not working today, so what is she doing today? Is she by herself? Is Stephen working? Stephen's very important to the formula, by the way. He's been added lately. And what am I doing? And it's not that I'm so curious. I'm trying not to worry. Are you worried? Your doctor, your medicine, your children, your wife, your dog. So I tell you what we did to Suzanne's dog. Ginger went to be with the Lord last year. This year.
September.
She was almost 18. And she had had a couple close calls. So one night, about 10 o'clock, I said, Dwayne, they live in Auburndale. I'm in Auburndale, and that's where I'm from. And I said to Wayne, you know what? We need to go lay our hands on Ginger. So I showed up at Suzanne's door. I knocked on the door. I said, I just came to minister to Ginger for a few minutes. And the Lord raised her up. She had pancreatitis. And she's about this wide. Lost so much weight. And the Lord raised her up. And then later, Suzanne laid hands on her. And the Lord healed her of a medicine that she'd been on, how long? Decade.
Since she was three.
And she doesn't need it anymore.
She didn't need it for the last year of her life.
But you know what Suzanne had been saying? She'd been saying, Ginger will not die sick. Ginger will not die sick. And so we got past pancreatitis, totally healed. We got past the skin thing that's been a constant dilemma, totally healed. And then a year or so later, she went to be with the Lord. Now, I know that's where she is. And if you don't think so, don't tell me, okay? Just don't tell me. Because one man went to heaven. He said the first thing that happened when he stepped into heaven, his dog met him. I don't know if he made that up or not. But what are we going to do? What are you worried about? I want you to get rid of it. I want you, when you wake up, first of all, if you find yourself worrying, frustrated about Christmas, the relationship, the cooking, the shopping, the bills, cast that on the Lord.
Amen.
Get rid of that. It'll kill you. That means it'll cause you to limp through life. And then next Wednesday, what are you going to do when you wake up?
Pray.
Just pick one person and pray. Now you're ready? Say, Father, I cast this care. I roll it over on you. I'm finished with it. It's not hampering me. It's not hindering me. I got it. Don't worry. And I'm not worried. And I thank you for my answer. I'm going to hang in here till I see what I say.